You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Johnson, and this is the Perpetual Chess Podcast. On Perpetual Chess, I have weekly conversations with chess players, personalities, authors, and adult improvers about their lives, their careers, and about chess improvement. Perpetual Chess is brought to you through the generosity of its Patreon and PayPal supporters. For more information, go to perpetualchesspod.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Perpetual Chess. We have an outstanding guest this week, a super strong player. He is a grandmaster. He is the five-time champion of Africa. In 2017, he became the first Egyptian player, the first Arab player, and the first African chess player ever to reach the 2700 rating. He's currently ranked number 38 in the world. And just for good measure, he is also a medical doctor and a dad. So, GM Bassem Amin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Ben. I'm very happy to be with you, and I hope everyone will enjoy our talk.
Yes, I hope so too. And listeners, I hope the audio is all right. Egypt to New Jersey is a long Skype call, and there's a mild bit of static, but I think it is workable, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to speak with this incredible representative of the chess world. So Bassem, getting down to chess, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is I was quite eager to talk to someone who had played in the FIDE World Cup, which as we record is in the finals, but has been going on, of course, over the past month, and will be, I think, over by the time listeners listen to this next week. But could you tell us about your trip, about the chess, about the flight, as much detail as you can about the overall experience?
Okay, this time World Cup was in San Francisco, and it's my, I think, fifth or sixth time I play World Cup, and third time in San Francisco. Okay, it didn't go so well for me this year. I was paired against a young Iranian player, Tabatabai. He's very strong, and okay, when the pairings were made, he was rated 26-10, but by the time World Cup started, he had already gained more than 30 points, or 26-40 something. And okay, I had a training camp before World Cup with Mikhail Oleksienko, Ukrainian grandmaster, and my teammate, for almost 1 week we were preparing. And yeah, okay, we left Egypt 3 days before the first round, but it was very, very long trip, almost 24 hours. So it was quite exhausting, but okay, we arrived 8th of September, and first round was 10th of September. Okay, organization there was quite okay. Hotel was, we had a hotel like 5 minutes by walk to the playing hall, which was very good. But I think still I was quite tired from the trip, and first day I had white pieces. Didn't go so well. I couldn't get anything out of the opening, and it was quite easy draw for him. Second game, I played the Groomfield for the first time in my life, which was something I prepared for especially for this match. And I would say it worked out quite well. I got easy draw with black. And then, okay, we headed to tie breaks. And in the first game, I got black again. And then, okay, I decided I'll go back to my king is Indian. And I'm not sure that was a very good decision. because, okay, obviously, my king's Indian defense is like my main opening. And, of course, this was what he was mainly preparing against. So for the rapid, okay, I tried to avoid his preparation by playing some variations that I don't play so much. And, okay, I got a worse position. And, okay, he played quite very good moves and he managed to win the first game. And then, okay, second drafted game with white, I still didn't get much of the opening, but okay, I kept playing and then I won a piece and I got a completely winning position. But this tie breaks is very stressful, and once you get down to 10 seconds, somehow start playing any move you see, you meet so many wins, and it's just a matter of nerves. And yeah, it's incredible. Now I see the game after it's finished. Yeah, you just can't believe how you missed such easy wins. Yeah. And okay, it showed after in so many games later in the tie breaks how many blunders happened, how many easy wins are missed. But this is how this tie breaks is. It's just killing your nerves, you know, and you just blunder so many things. And so I couldn't win this game, and I was out quite fast in the first round. But yeah, this World Cup is, you never know. And if you are stronger by rating, it doesn't mean that you will win. You know, you have to work hard to win any game there.
Yeah, nerves have been a major theme of this World Cup, I would say. And I'd like to follow up on that a little bit. But do you mind, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the Ukrainian GM that you said that you did some training with.
Oleksienko Mikhailo.
Ah, okay. Thank you. And just to get back to the question of nerves, and just for listeners who are not so familiar with the World Cup, I should probably give a few more details. It's one of the biggest tournaments of the year. There's pretty good prize money, but also the top two finishers get to qualify for the candidates tournament to determine who plays Magnus Carlsen in the next World Championship. So it's a very prestigious, very important tournament. Obviously, I'm guessing it's been circled on your calendar for a long time. So this issue of nerves, I feel like it's gained great attraction, particularly GM Vichagov, who had a nice run before being eliminated. Yeah, he's been pretty outspoken in just kind of the toll that it takes. Are the nerves a lot more heightened than your typical tournament that you play in?
Yes, of course. I mean, this World Cup happens once every 2 years, so I mean, it's not something you could say, okay, I'll compensate next tournament, you know. Still 2 years time to this, so it's very high pressure. Also very prestigious, also high prizes at stake. And okay, of course, when you win second round, third round, and you go further and further, the pressure is higher, yeah, because you're getting close to your dream, which is the candidates. And so each round longer, more tiring, more stressful, you know, it's everything. And it's almost 1 month, you know, to play from first round till the end. Pretty much like more than 25 days, which is very, very, very long time. And with all the nerves every day playing, you're stressing. So it's just exhausting tournament. I believe people who reach the final need at least 1 month to recover from this tournament.
Right. And how do you approach it as a professional and as a dad? I know that it can be tricky. There's decent conditions, as far as I understand it, for professionals like yourself. But on the other hand, you're traveling for 24 hours and you don't know how long you're going to be there. So do you book a round trip flight or do you just book a one way? And how does it feel to be away from your family and not know when you're coming back?
Okay, World Cup is different, of course, because as you say, you don't know when you're coming back. But of course, if before traveling, everyone tells me, okay, we don't want to see you for a month.
Right.
But usually I don't stay that long. But yeah, okay, it's different. Okay, luckily my federation booked the ticket, so they booked a round trip. And okay, if we need to change the ticket, they just do it. They call someone in Egypt and they do it from Egypt and just send back a new ticket. So yeah, I'm lucky to have help from Federation there. And yeah, but for family, of course, I mean, they know, okay, if I win, I stay more. If I lose, then I come back. So at least there's something good. Yeah, if I lose, I get to come back quickly and be with my family. So some relief at least.
Kind of a win-win. And does the Federation help out with the hotel as well?
Yes, for the World Cup, Federation take care of everything, which is very good.
Yeah, that's great. I hope that's the case for a lot of people, although I'm not necessarily sure that it is.
It's not. Okay, it's not always here like that also, but for World Cup, at least for most of the World Cup players, this was the case. So this is one good thing from the Egyptian Chess Federation.
And what's your overall opinion of the format? Because I feel like there's kind of a subtext to some of the comments from GM Rajabov and from GM Vuchagov and from others that I mean, I as a chess fan find it extremely entertaining, as I've mentioned in the past, and I think a lot of others do as well. But I understand that it's a totally different format for professionals like yourself, and the stakes are so high. So do you think it's a good choice of format considering the stakes?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and as you said, viewers like it, which is very important for chess. If we want to promote our game, we need people to like what they're watching. Yeah? So I think it's very interesting, and the point of, you have to win, must-win game, even classical or rapid, the pressure you're having. Okay, for the players, okay, I mean, you don't always enjoy travels for like 24 hours to just play two games and go back home, you know. Could be a bit annoying. But okay, it's a part of the format, you know it before you go, and it's your decision if you want to play or not. I mean, some players didn't choose not to play. But okay, it's their decision to make. But if you agree to play, then you know what you are going to play, what conditions you are playing for and so on, and you accepted it. So yeah, you just go and do your best. But yeah, I think it's very interesting, and the bad part is that it doesn't always decide on the classical chess. Yeah, it could be like one blitz game that decides everything, which is doesn't mean that the best is winning, but okay, I mean, if you get there, that means that you're almost equal. Yeah? If you like get to Almagro, then you know, like after 8 games, and you still couldn't win, then okay, some luck is needed, you know, always. And it's like football, penalty kick, you know. The best maybe not winning, but okay, at least the other guy proved to be as strong as the other one. So in so many games already. So it means something after all. Nerves, chess preparation, physical preparation, you know, mental preparation. It's so many things, you know, because you play for so long time. And I think it's a very strong tournament. And the winner is really, really, really strong. And he must be from the best to win such long event.
Yeah, it seems.
And I think it's proven, that all previous World Cups are you know, only top players make it to like quarterfinals. You don't find some, even I believe not 2600 makes it to quarterfinals. And I don't know, in the last 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I think that I understand the complaints, but yeah, from a fan perspective, it's so much fun. And I'm not sure. I guess the alternative would be, I mean, if you're going to invite that many players, the alternative would just be a big Swiss tournament. A big classical Swiss tournament.
Kind of what we're having in the Grand Swiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Next week,
Yeah, which also presents an opportunity to qualify for the candidates. In terms of conditions, I'm guessing it would be a little bit harder, because at least in the in the World Cup, the prizes go up with every round that you advance. So that's a welcome change. And how do you...
Yeah, exactly. In the service, you can give prizes for everyone playing at least. Okay, what's good is happening is that, okay, accommodation and tickets are covered, but, okay, prizes, you have to play really well to get some prize. But
right.
More tough, at least everyone is getting prize, so
yeah,
not so bad.
And how do you prepare for the different time controls? That was another thing that GM Vichikov, I just read an interview on Chess24 before we started recording, and he was saying it's difficult to prepare for all the different time controls at once. So how did you approach that in your training leading up to this event?
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem, actually, because, okay, like in Rapid, you could have totally different openings than the Classic, and in Blitz, it's another thing, of course, if you get to the Blitz. So it's very difficult, actually, but, okay, I think it differs from a player to another, because, okay, like, for me, I have a very narrow repertoire, if you may say. I don't play so many openings. So I play my openings anyway in Classic and in Rapid and Blitz. It's the same things I play everywhere. But for some players, who like play so many variations, they could choose some. For Classic, they play like normal solid lines. But for Rapid and Blitz, they could play some a bit dubious but more tricky variations. So, yeah, this is, of course, very helpful for them. For me, it's also good because what I play, I have some experience in. So I don't waste so much time in the opening, usually, or is that what I try to do. not always the case, of course.
Right.
But I mean, each player has his own strategy for that. But for me, before preparing, I was mainly preparing for the classical tournament, for the classical games, not the Rapid or Blitz.
Okay.
Even for the, like, if you get advantage or so on, if you are just not in your best shape, then even a piece up couldn't be enough. Yeah? So there's not much to do about that with preparation.
Right. And is there anything you can do to prepare for the nerves? Is there any sort of simulation you can do, or you just kind of have to experience it?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not the expert there. So, I mean, things obviously not going so well for me in the World Cup, but... Yeah, I don't know. To be physically in shape is very important. I think it helps a lot with the nerves if you are physically in shape, which I'm not. And also if you have to, like, you have played some tournament, like, not more than 2 weeks before, just to be in good form. And, especially first two rounds, the classical rounds, if you are not in shape or you haven't played in a tournament for a month or something, you still feel like, okay, you need to warm up, but there is no time to warm up, because your first game could be your last, so you never know. So you need to be already in good form starting the tournament. And this is, I think, very, very difficult to achieve.
Yeah, especially with the jet lag. Of course, you're playing one of these young hotshots in GM Tabatabai. Mm-hmm. And I saw a quote where GM Laurent Frissonnet said that he thinks that as one gets older, that nerves can become more of a problem. So in that sense, playing someone so young who's hasn't had a chance to properly appreciate the stakes can be a problem. Do you think that's true, that generally strong players like yourself, their nerves can get worse over years and decades?
Yeah, okay. Of course, when you are younger, you don't have so many things to worry about. You are only playing chess and enjoying the game and nothing else. But of course, with time, you get more responsibilities. You have family, you have other things to take care about. So it's all you keep coming to your mind. But I would like to think that, still I'm 31 years now, so I hope still not so old yet. I hope still at least 5 more years to keep improving. And then, once you get over 40, I'd say it's already, time to see what's happening. but still, some people Vichy, of course, and Ivanchuk, these people, they keep inspiring everyone and giving us hope that even at this age, they can still compete with the best and very young opponents. So, yeah, I hope there's more time that I can still play and fight. Yeah.
Yeah, they're incredibly inspiring. And am I correct, GM Bassam, that you're not practicing medicine right now? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, for 3 years and a half now, since I finished my army service, March 2016, I had to choose between chess and medicine, of course, because both require so much time and a lot of studying and preparing and training and so on. So I chose to continue playing chess till now, and I would say I made some good progress since then in chess. I made it to 2700 and won a few strong tournaments, and I think my chess improved a little bit. And I still feel I can do much better in chess. Of course, I just need to work more, and of course, if I get proper coaching sometimes, that also helps. Still so many things needed to compete with the top players. They're young, they're strong, very well prepared, and always working hard. So, it's totally new level to compete with these very strong players. But, I'm trying the best that I can do on my own. Of course, I'm hoping to have more support from the country, but it's not so easy to achieve or to get. But I'm just trying to work with what's possible for me, which is online and computer. So.
Yeah, it seems players around your level in particular, around that top 75 to top 25, it seems so tantalizingly close to, obviously you guys have achieved incredible things. It's just staggering to be the best player on your continent is something I can't even begin to fathom. But on the other hand, like when I interviewed GM Vidit Gujrati, he mentioned similarly, he was hoping to put a team together because he was at the time in the around number 25 in the world, and just so close to that level where you just, the invitations come pouring in and you can really hope to make a push to challenge for the world championship. How does it work within your country? Do you take meetings about finding sponsorship to help assemble a team, or do you have someone who's able to do that for you? And do you find yourself having to be bothered with this stuff, or do you just kind of hope it happens but focus more on your chess?
Yeah, I don't look for it myself, and unfortunately, Federation doesn't have any sponsors also. And I never had a sponsor in Egypt. Neither the Federation, and I don't think people are willing so much to sponsor anything related to chess in Egypt. Unfortunately, it's not the most popular game here. It's only basically football that is popular in Egypt. And other sports are not so much. That's why, it's been difficult to get proper training or camp before tournaments or so on, and I just have to work on my own, so this is a bit difficult situation, but I think it's the case in so many countries around the world, that people not so much interested in sponsoring chess players or chess events, it's like a circle, it's the media showing big interest, then the businessmen would decide, I can sponsor that because I'll be on the media and coverage, and so on, people will be following, so I'll get something back. So, it's a circle that I hope the new feed is working to improve all over the world. And everyone is looking forward to see how the new FIDE management is improving the image of our game and helping to get sponsors everywhere.
Yeah, it's always a challenge, and it seems to be moving in the right direction, but there's just so many strong players like yourself who could use some more support. But on a what I would think would be a brighter topic, they did do the Grand Chess Tour in Cote d'Ivoire in Africa, and yeah. I know that you got to participate. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what that experience was like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was fantastic news when I first heard that Grand Chess Tour is officially coming to Africa. A year before, they organized a tournament with the same format as Grand Chess Tour, but only for 10 African players, like high-rated player from 10 different countries. It was like a, you know, test tournament to see how the everything will go with organization and broadcasting and so on, to try if the Grand Chess Tour could be organized in Africa. And that tournament went very well. I also played there and I won that tournament. And then the next year when it was confirmed that the Grand Chess Tour is officially coming to Cote d'Ivoire again, well, first I was hoping to get the wild card invitation, of course, and then when I got it, I was very happy, of course, because it's my first ever opportunity to play in such very, very strong round-robin tournament. Also, Magnus was playing there. Actually, all the Rapid and Blitz specialist tours were playing. Hikaru, Nipomniachtchi, Kayaken, Wesley So, Ding, and Wee. I mean, everyone was very strong. Even wildcards also was Topalov and me. And it was two or three. And Wee was the third wildcard. So, I mean, everyone was very, very strong there. And yeah, it was a great experience for me to play 27 games, each very strong. And yeah, I think I learned a lot from this tournament. I got a big experience and also, you know, getting the feeling to play with these top players is very good for yourself and for your confidence. Okay, especially if you start winning sometimes, winning some games, it's very important. Because I had a quite tough start in the first day, even though I had very good positions. But okay, still it's Rapid and Blitz, so yeah, getting good positions is not enough. You have to convert right. It also,
yeah,
which is not easy because they're very, very strong in defending also that position. So to win a game is really, really hard. And yeah, you could just lose all your advantages in one move. So yeah, it was a great experience that I'm still happy about. But still, I hope it will happen again. And next time I'll show much better chess and results.
So what in terms of your chess, is there one lesson that you, like, was there a primary lesson derived from playing against the world's best players? Or was it more sort of just you need to work on a little bit of everything sort of thing?
Yeah, of course. Okay, chess-wise, you always have to work. Everyone has to work. Even Magnus still has to work on everything. But okay, for me, it was important to feel that I can beat these guys, you know. Like, okay, I already beat some of them there, and I had so many winning positions there. So, I mean, it's not impossible, or I'm not so far chess-wise from them, you know. I just need some more work, and I can get there. This was very important to know, I'd say.
That's great, yeah. And I know, of course, you beat GM Nakamura and GM Topalov, so definitely... even if the overall result wasn't as strong as you might have hoped, I mean, it's incredible to get results like that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I missed so many winning positions there.
Okay? Yeah.
So
do you think that means you need to work on your technique in particular? Or
Yes, of course. Okay, I mean, especially for Rapid and Blitz, I don't usually play Blitz or train so much there, so... Yeah, when you get low on time, I usually have some troubles, I'd say, converting the games and so on. But okay, I mean, I try to focus more on classical chess.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I mean, still now, like most of the tournaments are getting involved with Rapid and Blitz and even World Cup. So obviously, I need to improve there, and I should try to do something about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got quite a busy life. I mean, you've been to China. Yeah. You've been to Siberia. Now you're back in Egypt.
Yeah, actually, starting end of June till 15th of September after the World Cup, I'd barely been home, like just few days like transit in home and then travel again. So it was very, very busy couple of months.
Wow. Well, again, I really appreciate your taking time for your busy schedule to answer my questions. I don't want that to be lost in this, because your schedule just strikes me as so hectic, and you've got the Isle of Man in France coming up. Anything beyond that this year?
No, this Isle of Man most probably will be my last classical tournament of the year. It's already been a quite long year for me. And then, I play this rapid tournament in Kaldag in France, Anatoly Karpov Cup. And I'm very excited to play this tournament. It's my first time to play it, and it's 25th anniversary for the tournament. And it's very exciting format. It's eight player round robin, and we play double round robin actually, and then first four qualify to play semi-final and then final. So first I hope to be in top four, and then to keep playing in semi-final and final, I hope. And then after this tournament, I'll just play probably just league games in Bundesliga or in Sweden. And then World of Rapid and Blitz, if it's organized in December, usually, end of December. That's my plan till the end of the year.
Wow, still a lot. So when you are, and when you are able to work on your chess, you know, we had mentioned converting advantages. I'm sure you all, you know, even you mentioned you had a narrow repertoire, but I'm sure it mm-hmm. still requires constant maintenance. So what is your study routine like when you're able to sit down and actually study chess or turn on the computer or whatever it may be?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, usually when I have time, I either try to work on openings or like play some online games or solve tactics. To do openings, but either I'm analyzing some of my games that I have problems, I'm trying to fix these problems, or I'm trying to maybe learn some new opening or something. So either reading from a book or watching some online videos. Like recently, there's like videos from Chess24. It's very interesting. To learn new openings, and or just to buy some DVD or some other site like Modern Chess. They also have some opening repertoire, just database that you could download and learn it with comments from very good grandmasters also. So I mean, there's these ways to do openings. For me, usually I use computer. I'm not much of a book either. So it's usually on computer, and when I want to try a new opening, I just try to play some blitz games to memorize the variations, because I usually forget it, and then after the game I try to check what I should have played, what I forgot, and so on, and that's how I could learn it better. And as much time as I have, I try to work, but it's not so easy to have so much time now, even when at home, because with the baby run goes away all the time, and it's not easy to concentrate. But I try whenever possible to do as much work as I can.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned we're doing this interview as your daughter naps. Is she a good sleeper?
Yes. Now she's sleeping at night. I used before to wake up a bit later at 10 or 11 in the morning, but now when my baby wake up at 7 or 8, I have to be awake also, because it's not easy to sleep when she's awake, because she likes to play and speak, of course, and say things, so it's difficult to be asleep, to stay sleeping when she's awake. So now I changed to waking up very early, and now, of course, I sleep early also, so it's a bit new lifestyle for me.
Yeah.
But I think it's not bad to actually the right way to wake up early and sleep early. So she's been useful to me anyway.
Right. Yeah. I had a similar indoctrination when I had kids. I think a lot of chess players are night owls, but kids aren't having it for the most part. They won't tolerate that.
Yeah.
So you just getting before I let you go, if you don't mind, I read a little bit about your background learning chess at the age of five in Egypt and your father finding some trainers for you. But because it's so rare that I get to speak to someone from your continent in general, in Egypt in particular, do you mind telling me what it was like in order to become a top junior player in Egypt? Did you feel that it was did you feel that you had equal opportunity, and what sort of resources did you use in your younger days?
When I started chess, it was I was almost five, and it was a coincidence, of course, that my father, he wasn't a chess player, he just knew how to play the game, and he just taught me the game, and I liked it so much, and he felt I have a big interest there. He didn't know that there's something called chess tournaments, except one day he was just reading in the newspaper that there's Egyptian US tournament is going to be organized. And then, he just said, you could go and play, and I got second place under 12, and wow. I was almost 6 years old. So it was a very encouraging start, I would say. And then, of course, in the tournament, we knew more that there's coaches and so on. And then I started training and playing in the Egyptian League. I mean, there wasn't so much of young players in Egypt back then. I mean, the younger, it was like under 16 in all the tournaments and so on, the leagues and even in open tournaments, it used to be only like under 16, the minimum. So I was one of the youngest to be playing. And I started training, and then I started winning all up US tournaments, and then I kept getting rating and improving. And I had coaches in Egypt first, from Egyptian coaches, until I become 2400. And then starting 2003, I'm working on my own. Only in computer and online. And only from 2003, we had one coach training with 1 year, 1 month, sorry, 1 month training with the Latvian coach Edvin Skingin, which was very useful. 1 month, it was me and the Grandmaster Ahmad Adli, also from Egypt, both of us, and this 1 month was very helpful for us. But since this month in 2003, we didn't have any coaching till last Olympiad 2018. We had also a couple of weeks before Olympiad with Russian Grandmaster Sergei Grigoryan. And then he traveled with us to the Olympiad. And then this year we also had Ukrainian Grandmaster Mikhail Oleksenko with us in the World Teams and also before World Cup. So this is only 3 times we had since 2003. And it's both like a couple of weeks time training. So I think at this level, we need more of course, of these training camps, and not just once a year, at least 3 times a year. That would be very useful, I would say.
Wow. I mean, I can't even imagine to go from 2300 to 2700 almost all on your own and be getting a medical degree at the same time. I just... It's quite an achievement.
Studying medicine, that was very, very hard. Hard to combine both and to keep playing and studying. Of course, it was really difficult, especially that in Egypt, with education, they are not very supportive, that if you are playing a tournament and you could miss some exams or some lectures, they wouldn't care so much. So it was really not easy job, but I'm glad I managed to do both.
Yeah, well, the chess world is glad as well. I mean, but that's incredible. I mean, the strongest player in your country, and they don't make exceptions for you. That's a little disappointing to hear.
One year in 2008, I was in my third year, and I had to write some exam in August, and then it was my last year that I could play in all the juniors championship. And of course, I had hopes, of course, to win the tournament. I finished I got bronze medal before. I finished fourth, fifth. Got so many places in top 10. So I always were hoping to win a World Youth or World Junior tournament, and it was my last chance. and it was clashing with that exam. So I had to make a choice. And I chose to play the tournament, and after I got a bronze medal in the tournament, I came back. And of course, I had to wait one more year to write this exam. They couldn't make any exception to write it quickly. No. Yeah, so it was very bad. But okay.
Oh, wow.
That's the choice I made. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? So what is, reflecting on all that you've achieved so far in your chess career, what is your, do you have a favorite moment? Do you have something that you think of first that you're most proud of achieving, or like the best feeling you ever had in terms of attaining a result or a milestone in your chess?
Okay, I mean, of course, the biggest milestone is achieving 2700.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the, I mean, for the first time, I felt it. It's also like for all African players. I mean, it was like an inspiration for them to, that they feel now that, okay, it's African players become 27. It's not impossible to become one of the top players in the world. So I felt it from the other people comments, you know, how happy they were that, like one player from, they knew someone from the continent became 2700, and also that, okay, as you said, I think I got there in 2017, so it's almost 2 years now, and I'm still there. Okay, I haven't improved so much. I mean, I keep going up 10 points, minus 10 points, and so on, but I'm still in this area, so it means that my level is there, you know.
Yeah.
But it's time to try to improve now, and this is my goal, but it needs so much hard work now to... Because each 1 point now is very difficult to get. So, because you have to beat 2,700 players to improve, which is very difficult, of course. And you have also to play certain tournaments. You know, like playing open tournaments is very risky. So, which I do quite often. So, that's why it's not so easy to keep the rating or keep improving your rating. But yeah, I'm trying, and I hope to get some decent rest and January and February, and then to use this couple of months to get some good training, try to improve my openings a little bit, and then hopefully next year will be better for me.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, while you've had so much going on in your life to make all of this progress and to consolidate near your peak rating, that's not a bad thing. I mean,
yeah,
as you well know, you know, you can't go straight up forever. So, to just have your rating relatively flat around 2700 is still incredible. So, last thing before I let you go, do you have any general advice for busy people looking to improve their chess? even the amateur players, obviously.
No, I mean, it depends on the level. I mean, if say someone who's around 2,000 rating and they want to improve, it's very easy. And whatever time you spend on chess, it will be very useful for you. You just have to do it to spend it right. If you have like 2 hours, I mean, you could spend them playing Blitzer Bullet online, which will be absolutely not useful for you. But you could use it doing something useful, like solving tactics, learning end games, learning some new opening, watching some videos. Just spend the time you give to chess right. This is important. And just play, especially for amateur players. Just don't play so much blitz. It's not good.
Yeah. And then for players, for striving professionals like yourself, how would the advice change?
Of course, with rating increase, the problem becomes more and more in the openings, because you have to always find, you just don't need to learn the opening, you have to find new ideas there, which is very difficult, because everyone knows the opening, so if you just play it, then you didn't surprise your opponent in any way, so you have to always find new ideas, new moves. And this requires, of course, so much work, and because it's not something you find in the books. You have something you have to find your own. And That's why you just could spend hours in some variation and you just find nothing there. So you never know how or when you will find some new idea. And once you do, you're like very happy, you know. When I'm analyzing some variation and I find some new idea, I feel like, okay, I already made my day, you know. It's perfect. So, but of course, you know, still working with opening takes much time. And this could affect other parts of the game, like middle game and end game. You always have to keep practicing, solving tactics, reading your end games. I mean, always in games, in practice, you get to some end games that you should know how to win or something, especially with rook end games. And even top players, you know, you're like lose drawing position and so on. And it's one move, one square different. So it's also difficult to be accurate there, especially you usually don't have so much time there left in the end game. So this is also very important to keep practicing your end game and try to memorize it and so on. So, I mean, chess is quite a difficult game, but you just have to keep working and practicing and then you will improve. That's for sure.
Okay, great. Well, that is some helpful advice. I really appreciate it. And again, I just want to congratulate you on all your success. And I hope you don't lose sight of all that you've accomplished, even as you try to do more.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we'll let you get back to your family and your busy life. But we'll be rooting for you at Isle of Man and at the Karpov Trophy Tournament in France. And GM Bassam, what is the best way for people to keep up with you as you on social media?
I'm using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all GM Bassam Amin. So they can follow me everywhere there. It's GM Bassam Amin. And
excellent.
I usually post updates on my tournaments there.
Okay, so I will link to all of those, and I wish you safe travels and continued success. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Special thanks, as always, to my producer, Matthew Passy. I'd also like to thank everyone who helped spread the word about Perpetual Chess. The ways to do so include writing a positive review on Apple Podcasts or another podcast platform, telling a friend, spreading the word on social media. All of that stuff helps. But most of all, I want to thank the people who support the show financially. Without you guys, Perpetual Chess would not be possible. So I would like to give thanks to the following people and entities, my PayPal and Patreon Perpetual Chess partners. Here we go. They are extra special thanks to Chessable.com and Quality Chess Books and the Capital City Chess Club, Apprentice Twitch Channel, Andrew Bach, Austin Clough, Benjamin Porto, Kathy Cow, Chad Oliver, Dan O'Hanlon, Danny Davidson, David Schreiber, I am Dimitri Schneider, Faraz Sawaf, Gary Foreman, Greg Natel, Greg Shahadi, Guvin Manet, Jens Green, John Jernigan, John Cromarty, Kelly Palmer, Lone Pine Chess, Lorraine Duray, the Law Offices of Stuart Katz, Michael Kahn, my main man Moonmaster 9000, Seattle Chess Club, Thomas Stonix, Thomas Tachenko, Todd Bryan, Todd Kennedy, and I'd also like to thank Aaron Waffler, Ace Vallega, Adam Ralph of ChessEngland.com, Adrian Gutierrez, Alex Pejas, FM Andre Terakov, Andrew Perry, Bill Moran, Brad and Andy Rosen, Brett Howard Lynn, Brian Mullis, Chad Hilton, Chris Balcom, Chris Flanagan, Chris Wainscott, Christopher Baumgartner, Christopher Shabri, Christopher Wood, I am Christoph Zalicki, aka Chess Explained, Coach Jay's Chess Academy, Courtney Fry, David Kofer, Daniel Gell, Daniel Ginsburg, Daniel Lucas of US Chess, Daniel Naylor, Dave Saylor, David Cramley, CEO of Chessable.com, Daylin Shelton, Dwayne Edmonds, Ethan Smith, Donnie Ariel, who may be an IM elect or maybe just has the titles, and I'm not sure if that makes him an IM elect, but thank you, Donnie, anyway. Fox Valley Chess Club, Frank Tortoris, Gary Andrews, Gary Lewis, Geert Vanderveld, Gerard Barta, Giovanni Russo, Han Shu, Harish Srinivasan, James Banastia, Jason Onfang, Jason Woolum, Jeff Anderson, Jeffrey Martello, JJ Stranad, John Fernandez, John Fontaine, John Hartman, John Zlosnik, J. Justin Gardner, Jen Shahadi, Joel Rocky, John Thompson, GM Josh Friedel, IM Kare Christensen, WGM Katerina Nemsova, Kelly Palmer, IM Kostya Kuvutsky, Krishna Gopala Krishnan, Larry Reiforth, Laura Belyavsky, Lucio Casada Silva, Martin Knudsen, Matthew Passy, Matthew Tedesco of SeattleChessMeetup.org, the Mechanics Institute Chess Club of San Francisco, Michael Alerd, Miguel Araspide, Mr. Mike Shahadi, Nate Salon, Neil Bruce, Olaf Mueller Michaels, GM Pascal Charbonneau, Pasi Passanen, Paul Bain, Paul Clarkson, Paul Swanee, Paulo Santana, Peter Lux, Peter Merrifield, Randy Temple, Ricky Grijalva, Roy Yearwood, Ryan Berg, Scott Doherty, Scott McKinnon, WGM Tatya Vabrahamian, Tim Brennan of TacticsTime.com, Tim Seymour, Timothy Ha, Tomas Komanich, Tony Rotella, Tyron Price, Victor Vrankouge, William H. Brock, William Peterson, FM Zhao Cheng, and Zhivko Stoyanov. Thanks a lot, everyone. I will catch you all next week.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.